Blog Talk Radio.
Corruption, racism, xenophobia, white supremacy, healthcare protections hanging by a thread, law enforcement encouraged to commit acts of brutality, peaceful people being separated from their families, and at the helm, a man beholden to Russia who is so unhinged that his actions could actually lead us to nuclear war. Join Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Together we must stand against the destruction of this country and the ideals we hold dear before it's too late. That's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 914-205-5772. That is 914-205-5772. If you want to join us in the chat room, it's at blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan. You can also listen after the podcast and leave your comments, questions, and concerns on the show thread at liberaldan.com, or you can leave comments on Twitter or on Facebook, facebook.com/liberaldan, or at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. Now, before we at the bottom half of the hour, we're going to be getting to actually probably about 10 minutes now. We're probably going to be getting into the conversation with Tammy Savoy, a candidate for the 1st Congressional District of Louisiana as part of our Take Back Congress series. But first, I'd like to bring up this week's headlines. Yesterday was a horrible day for the Trump administration. Paul Manafort, Michael Cohen, et cetera, were just the latest in convictions of Trump's inner circle during his campaign and beyond. When Donald Trump said that he would surround himself with the best people, he neglected to include the words that would agree to work with him. In science news, NASA has confirmed water on the surface of the moon. However, there is no proof of Klingons around Uranus. And in health news, it was determined that Neanderthals got it on with several human-like species. Perhaps that explains our current president. And that is this week's headline. So now, I'm going to be talking about, again, before I get into some of the conversation that I wanted to have about what happened yesterday, and I'll probably do that after I speak with Tammy Savoy, I do want to talk about, first, Molly Tibbetts, the case of her murder, and what's happening with that, and why I think what's happening with that is wrong. See, Republicans and conservatives or whatever are trying to make this about immigration, because I've seen some reports questioning whether or not he is really here in violation of our border policies. However, I think that's irrelevant. His being here or not being here in violation of our border policies, should it make a difference in this case? Should it be used in this case to try and say, hey, we need to build this wall now? Because there's nothing inherently, there's no evidence provided that people who are here in violation of our border policies are doing so at a much bigger threat to individuals than a standard legal resident of this country. What does that mean? So I've seen no evidence that proves that people who are here in violation of border policies are more likely to cause a threat against an individual, you know, harming that person in some way, either physically, financially, emotionally, whatever. I mean, some of these conservatives just, you know, you look at them wrong and they have, you know, they shatter and they can't handle it. But in reality, there's really nothing to show that these people, and I'll be willing to see data, if you have data that corrects me, there's nothing that shows that these people are more of a threat to individuals than people who are here legally, citizens, legal residents, what have you. Now, this doesn't seem, it doesn't seem logical that an individual who is here in violation of our border policies be a bigger threat. Most of these people are people who just are trying to improve their lives by being here, despite the fact that we have Donald Trump's president. So what makes people think that they are a bigger threat? I mean, I don't know. It's just bigotry, plain and simple. And if I'm thinking logically here, and I like to think, I think logically most of the time, you have people who are trying to improve their lives, trying to just, you know, work these jobs that, you know, maybe pay under the table a little bit, or maybe they have to use a fake Social Security number or what have you. You know, yeah, you know, not legal, but again, not causing a direct harm against anybody. Who's not pulling these benefits from anybody. If anything, if they've stolen somebody's Social Security number, they're putting more money into that person's Social Security account than they would have thought. You have these people who they don't want to get caught. They want to live on, they want to be under the radar. So they're not going to cause a ruckus. They're not going to bring attention to themselves. So that's why it seems logical for me to suggest that people who are here in violation of border policies would be less likely to commit crimes against other people, because they don't want to be seen. They don't want to get in trouble with the authorities. They don't want to risk deportation. So they're going to lay low, and they're going to just do their job quietly and just kind of go along their merry way. And maybe their kids will get born here, and then those kids will grow up as citizens, et cetera. But the idea that somebody who commits this horrible act, and look, I'm not trying to excuse this act. I mean, this person, if guilty, you know, lock them up, you know, throw away the key. And if he's here in violation of our border policy, sure, that's a sure fine target for an actual somebody who's a threat to our country, to the people in this country, and sure, deport that person right away. Absolutely. I mean, you know, my biggest condemnation of Donald Trump and his deportations is that he's not going after these big threats. Instead, he's going after the low-hanging fruit, the people who are doing no harm to anybody by just simply being here and just trying to play up to his bigoted base. So when these conservatives try and make this argument that people who are here in violation of border policy are somehow a bigger threat, and that it justifies the building of this ridiculous wall, you need to stand up and say, look, no, you need to prove to me when you're making your argument that people who violate border policies are more likely than normal citizens to cause harm to our citizens or our legal residents or any other people who have a legal right to be here in this country. And if that's not the case, then stop making this bigoted argument that this person and any of those people who do wind up committing crimes are proof that we need stronger borders in building a wall. Again, I don't know how you measure that statistic. I don't know how you would determine whether or not somebody who has crossed our border against our rules would be more or less likely to commit said crimes. I think it would be very difficult to measure, but I also cannot think of a logical argument that would suggest anything other than these people aren't going to do these crimes, and instead that, you know, they're going to try and lay low. Anyway, that's just my opinion of it. If anybody has a different opinion of this issue, feel free, you know, leave your comments on liberaldan.com or at liberaldanradio on Twitter. I'd be more than happy to discuss that then, or perhaps in another show. However, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and take my break And at the end of the break, we should have our guest on at the bottom half of the hour. So again, tune in if you want to have any questions. It's 914-205-5772. That's 914-205-5772. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right. Are you planning a trip to Disney soon? Do you want help avoiding spending mistakes and making the most of your vacation? Then check out Budgeteers.com, a new site devoted to helping you get the most mouse for your money. What kind of ticket should you get? Is the dining plan a good deal for you? Should you stay on grounds or not? Should you buy park hoppers? Many other sites are filled with information about what other people like to do, but Budgeteers is geared to help you make the best decision for you. So check out Budgeteers.com or go to YouTube.com/Budgeteers and help make your trip the best it can be. Budgeteers.com is not a travel agency and it is not affiliated with the Disney Corporation or any of its holdings. Are you someone who is looking to get into the ride-sharing business, be it for a side hustle or a full-time gig? Are you currently a rideshare driver wondering how to increase your earnings? Are you simply a new rider looking for first-time rider credits? Head on over to RideshareDan.com for those first-time rider credits, sign-up bonuses for new drivers, and my tips and tricks to help you make more money in the gig economy. And welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 914-205-5772. It's 914-205-5772. You can also leave your comments and questions in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan on the show page for this particular episode. And if you're listening after the live broadcast, you can always leave those same comments, questions, and concerns either on the show thread over at liberaldan.com or at facebook.com/liberaldan or at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. And now we are continuing my Take Back Congress series. These are episodes that I'm devoting time to candidates who are running for office. You know, there's the supposed blue wave. That, you know, I think is real, you know, but that's what they've labeled it, the blue wave. People who are trying to do their best to win in districts that, you know, are easier to win or easier to take over, and some of them are harder to win. And this is a district, again, that I've run in previously. And so I've, you know, it's definitely an uphill battle. It's a task that, you know, is not one for the faint of heart. But if I look over at Tammy Savoy's accomplishments, if I read all of these accomplishments, I think I would use up all of the time I have for the show. So, you know, that is on her website, and I urge you to go ahead and read that information, because she is certainly an impressive person, somebody who is, you know, going to explain why she believes she is worthy of your vote. And again, I'd like to bring on right now Tammy Savoy. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hi, Dan. Thank you so much for hosting me here tonight. I'm excited to talk to you and all of your listeners.
It's great. Apparently we've had lines crossed. I've been trying to get you on for, you know, a couple weeks, months or whatever, but we finally got this to happen, and I'm happy that we were able to get it done, because, you know, I did first heard about your candidacy, and it's all about your accomplishments, your service to our country in the military. Your education, you know, it's a very impressive resume for somebody who wants to then go ahead and go into the swamp that is Washington, D.C. And I think that, you know, if somebody claimed to have drained the swamp, I think it was replaced with an even more swampier swamp. So I think the swamp got worse.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit of Yes, absolutely. Tell my listeners a little bit about, you know, your background and why you decided it was important to run and challenge Steve Scalise for this seat.
Well, you know, Dan, I spent 38 years fighting for my country in the U.S. military. And now I just want to fight for our community, for Louisiana, and for the country in Congress, because things have gotten really out of hand. And I came back home. I retired in 2016 and made my way back home. And shortly thereafter, Trump got elected. And things have really gotten bad. And I just need to serve my country again, and this time serve my community in Louisiana in Congress. And I just think that I have a lot of experience, and I want to participate in fixing the problems that beset all of us today.
And what are some of those main problems that you see? Like, what are some of your top priorities as a candidate? What are the things you want to tackle that you feel are a priority, that the district feels a priority, and or that you feel that Steve Scalise is failing to do?
Okay, so let's tackle those. The first is health care, and our guiding light really should be health care for everyone. It is imperative that we ensure everybody, and so I am for an expanded Medicare for all, a public option, so that everyone has access to affordable, quality health care. Now, what we have right now is a congressman who whipped the vote for the American Health Care Act of 2017, which would have knocked 23 million people, Americans, off of health care. And he was very happy to do that. He was gleeful when he was doing that. And, of course, he failed in doing that, and the Republicans failed. And what we have now, though, is an effort to gut the ACA and reinstate lifetime caps on coverage, let insurers charge whatever they want to the sick and the elderly, eliminate the ACA's guarantee of affordable care for individuals with pre-existing conditions. So they have waged a covert campaign to chip away at basic health care provisions. And so I believe that I need to go to Congress and fight this and make sure that we maintain the ACA in its current form and continue to build on it and build in a public option so that everyone has access to health care. We have to have 100% coverage for everyone. So that's a major plan, a major emphasis of the campaign. Other emphases are economic prosperity for all. You know, we need a livable wage. Right now we have a minimum wage of $7.25, and of course Louisiana goes by the federal wage. And again, Steve Scalise had the opportunity to raise the minimum wage so that we could have a livable wage, and he declined to do so. He voted against raising the minimum wage in 2014 and 2017, and that was somewhat of a slap in the face to Louisiana hardworking individuals. So I think we need to have a livable wage for everybody. We need a fair tax structure. So with the tax plan cut in 2017 in December, what that did was it was fiscally irresponsible to begin with, and it was really geared toward the wealthy. And what it has done is added $1 trillion plus to the debt, and it has gutted our coffers. So we don't have the income now. We don't have any money to invest in America. And in order to fund America, what the proposal is to cut Medicare, cut Social Security, cut health care, cut education, cut infrastructure. So we're making no investments in America. And that is going to destroy the middle class even more. And we can't survive without a middle class. And the final thing with the economy is the tariffs. And the tariffs are crushing to Louisiana. We're going to be the hardest hit state in the country by these tariffs. And that's going to affect jobs. And we have one in six jobs in this state are related to international commerce. And that's all going to be affected with these tariffs. It's already being affected. And there are many other things I could go on, but you had a question or you wanted to say something?
Well, no, I was about to say, like, you know, the dwindling middle class is absolutely something that needs to be dealt with, because, you know, we have seemingly this idea that we're going to have prosperity, you know, with these, you know, tax cuts. But then, you know, all the experts were saying, look, all these tax cuts are going to do is going to allow these businesses to just rebuy back their stocks, and it's not going to result in any sort of, you know, any sort of increased wages. You know, plans that were people that were planning on doing development here and jobs here because of these tariffs are now cutting their jobs and moving jobs overseas. And then it's terrible. And, you know, it's good to see, you know,
it's exactly what's happened. It's exactly what has happened. And it's going to continue to happen. And the wage disparities and the income disparities are going to grow and grow. And the middle class is going to continue to be gutted. And it's going to be bad for the country.
Yeah. And the importance of, you know, having quality health insurance, you know, provisions that'll mm-hmm. cover all people. I mean, the idea that any insurance would be allowed to have, you know, a cap of what they would cover is just that goes against mm-hmm. insurance. Like if you have, if you're basically telling me that you're going to cover me unless I get too sick. And then once I get too sick, I'm on my own. That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm paying coverage to cover me when I'm sick, it should cover me when I'm sick. And for all the times that I'm sick until either I get better or I don't.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem with our healthcare system. It's not geared toward health and
right.
health care. It's geared toward profit. And until we have at least one sector of our healthcare system to be not for profit so that people can get health care when they need it, then we're going to suffer from these problems all, you know, forever. One of the other things that we have to take into account when we talk about healthcare and we talk about the economy as two separate entities, the healthcare is a huge part of our economy. We're paying three times the amount that other industrialized economies or countries are paying for healthcare, and yet our healthcare outcomes, whether that's mortality rates, infant mortality, maternal mortality, all of our health outcomes are worse. And, you know, why is that? It doesn't have to be that way. Why are we paying more and getting less? This doesn't make any sense. So what we can do, we can reduce healthcare costs and improve outcomes. That's the goal. Other countries have done it, and we need to do it too. And the way we do that is take the profit motive out of healthcare. And there will always be people who can buy more health care, and that's fine. But we need to have a system where everyone can access quality, affordable health care. That's just the bottom line. And if we buy into preventive health and population health measures, then we can do what we need to do as a moral nation. And right now we're just failing the citizens of America.
Well, yeah, like way back in the day, I ran for the seat in 2004, and one of the things that I ran on was simply the fact that, you know, we need some sort of, you know, policy, you know, something that'll cover you, you know, to make sure that everyone has preventive care, because, you know, they say an ounce of prevention is worth mm-hmm. a pound of cure. So, and these people who don't have coverage, don't have preventive care, are going to wait for their conditions to become worse and worse, and then they're going to go to the emergency room.
And that's
and then
what happens.
And then the cost so much more to solve the problem, because, you know, you've now let your problem
mm-hmm.
grow. I mean, you catch cancer early on, it's much more
right.
easier to treat than it is if you wait for it to become stage three, stage four, you know, what have you. So
exactly. And that's with everything. That's with everything, right.
And I noticed in one of your videos, it has you running literally, not just figuratively for the office, but running, you know, across, I guess, proverbially across the district. And, you know, when I ran for this district, it was very gerrymandered already. And, you know, I was looking at the map on your page, and just, I mean, I didn't have to go to Houma. I didn't have to go to Grand Isle. And you have a lot more geography to cover. I mean, partially because when I ran, we had seven districts and we got pushed down to six. So the district's obviously going to be a little bigger, but you have a monumental task ahead of you, you know, crossing all of these, you know, lines and going out to all of these different areas. And you know, what are you hearing as a candidate when you talk to people, when you sit them down and you know, because this district is a very conservative district and it's drawn that way. So mm-hmm. what are you getting?
Yeah,
what kind of
course. Yeah, it's very
what kind of feedback are you getting, not just from, you know, people who obviously are more likely to support you, the more progressive folks, but the others who are, you know, perhaps not as progressive, but who you might have an opportunity to talk to?
Yeah, I think healthcare is cuts across all people, you know, all socioeconomic statuses, all races, all genders, old, young, you know, everyone needs healthcare. Conservatives, liberal, everybody needs healthcare. So everybody is concerned in one way or another about healthcare. People are
right.
concerned about jobs and stagnant economic growth. So you might have a job, but you haven't had a raise or any kind of incentive. You know, inflation is getting worse, and any savings you got from the tax cut is just eaten up by inflation. So stagnant wage growth is another thing, and job growth opportunities are another issue for people. And then just the income inequality for women, just the income inequality between men and women, and getting some pay equity and things of that nature. So it's the economy, it's the health care. A lot of people are very concerned about our environment. And anybody living on the coast and people that understand that sea levels are rising and perhaps more than we even expected. And
right.
that with a combination of the coastal erosion, you know, our parishes are going to be disappearing. So that's a concern for everybody. And so these are the things that consume people on a daily basis. All right, just this affects their lives every day. And then we have things that we see on the news, people that are very upset about what happened at the borders with the separation of the moms and the babies. People are very upset about that. And it doesn't, you know, affect them right now or in their lives, but we don't want to be a country that does that to
right.
other human beings. And people are very upset about that. People are upset about, you know, what's going on in with our allies. And, of course, again, that's not in everybody's, you know, it's not going to affect everybody's daily lives. But people don't like to see that. And so these are the things that we hear tangentially. But the most of the time we hear about things that affect people's daily lives. Education is another big one in Louisiana, of course. People really want good education because early childhood education and prenatal care, all of these things that affect families, that affect our children, and ultimately affect our society and our ability to have a flourishing economy here in Louisiana. It's very hard to attract business when we don't have a very educated when the education system isn't great and we don't have an educated populace that they can come and draw from. This is very hard in Louisiana, and I know that Governor Edwards is doing all that he can, and he has increased through the Medicaid expansion the number of people that are eligible to get health care. So this was very beneficial to our state, because in order to draw business and have a good economy here, we need to have a good health care system, we need to have a good education system, we need to have good infrastructure, and we need to have clean air and clean soil, and we have to be able to say that we take care of our citizens here in Louisiana. And so we're all fighting for that, and we need to replace our congressperson so that
right.
we can have that representation in Washington fighting for the people of Louisiana. And right now we don't have that. We don't have anybody looking out fighting for Louisiana in D.C. We got some money in the governor's office. We don't have anybody in D.C.
And I absolutely agree. And what's interesting is that you actually have it – you have it luckier than I did when I ran, because when I ran, it was – one of my top priorities that I made was coastal restoration and hurricane protection. And I didn't
mm-hmm.
have the – yeah, Gulf parishes, the parishes all along the Gulf
mm-hmm.
you know, those areas were a different district. And so I'm up in Covington, and I'm talking to people about coastal restoration and hurricane protection. They're like, that doesn't concern us. And I was like, well, it'll concern you when a big hurricane hits and you see gas at $4 a gallon. And the guy, and this is in 2004, a year before Katrina. And I said,
things have
you'll
changed.
Care. I know. And I was like, you'll care. And he goes, that'll never happen. Let me tell you, I wish I had that guy's phone number. I would have loved to have called him back a year later and have been like, well, look what happened. You know, I foresaw this and, you know, you were a doubter, but you have people who are literally affected by issues pertaining to the coast, you know, people who live down there, you know, who
I've been to Covington. I've been to Covington and Mandeville several times over and over again.
Sure.
And they are really into the environment there, more than you would ever think so. And there's a huge group out there. There's a huge Sierra Club, and there is, people who are concerned about the environmental impact of plastics in addition to coastal erosion and climate change. So there is a real movement on the North Shore regarding our environment, and I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy.
That's great. And I think part of that was probably the whole attempts to start fracking near Abita Springs, you know, trying to
that could have been
all of the, they were trying to do that. And a lot of people, you know, who are especially typically conservative were like, well, wait a second, you know, that's going to harm us. That's not a good thing. And so a lot of times people won't see things, you know, altruistically. They'll have to wait to see how it affects them. But, you know, at least at this point they've seen, and if they're becoming more environmentally conscious up on the North Shore, hey, that's great. And, you know, maybe that'll make this district one that becomes more winnable.
And, you know, just in July, the St. Tammany government had to temporarily close one of the North Shore beaches in the Slidell area because of erosion of the beach. And so they're getting it. I mean, because it's affecting them, but not just because it's affecting them, because I think they really realize, hey, we have to do something. We have to do something now. And when you have to start closing beaches down, that's pretty bad. So.
And I will say that you are the candidate that was endorsed by the Louisiana Democratic Party. That actually, when I heard that happened, that impressed me, simply because of the fact that they were not getting involved at all during my election when I was running against Jindal. They did not want to get involved in that at all. They let the local groups did endorse some of the candidates, but you know, on a whole district level, the state party kind of stayed out of it. And I was just like, all right, well, so it's good to see that the state party is seeing the interest and taking an interest in this district that is typically seen as one of the most conservative in the state.
They are very involved. This is a good thing. And the whole, you know, there's just a lot of grassroots movement going on, and it's good to see. And the thing is, we need to continue it. 2019, of course, is going to be a monumental year for all of us, and we need to make sure that we keep it up and just keep the energy, keep the focus on changing the state legislature next year and keeping our governor in. That's all going to be extremely important. So we can't stop after November. We just have to keep going into 2020.
Right.
So we got to fight for 2019, fight for 2020, and then we're going to redistrict in 2020-21. And so, you know, hopefully we'll get some relief with all of the gerrymandering as well.
Right, because there should be. And it was very interesting. Like 2 weeks ago, I did have somebody on from brothers and sisters who are all very young. They're from Austin, and they actually created a game that discussed or that shows how bad gerrymandering is. And they basically make it their theme is like gerrymandering is a game except for when it isn't, or isn't a game except for when it is. That is. And they're basically trying to, you know, not only make a game that looks fun to play, but actually kind of shows people, oh, this is what gerrymandering is and how terrible it is. I mean, if you look at the election results, ignoring the 55% that Edwards got, because he had about 10% Republican spillover or conservative spillover of people who just would not vote to make the governor's mansion a brothel. You still had 45% on the other races voting for Democrats, and even in, you know, the election, you know, for president, almost 40% of the state of Louisiana. So one third of the state or more voted for a liberal Democrat. So the idea that, you know, this state should have six congressional districts and only one of them be represented by a Democrat is unequal representation. Yeah. It should be deemed as unconstitutional. So hopefully we will have a Democratic candidate winning in this election, because that's what would more fairly and accurately be represented of our state in general. So how so you do have your website, TammySavoy.com. Do you have any events coming up that you'd like to tell the listeners about, where people can come and meet you, or different ways that they could help support the campaign?
Well, they can go to the website, of course, at TammySavoy.com and donate. And we do have some house parties coming up on Friday. We will be at a house party on Octavia Street. And all of these things are on the website on our public calendar, okay? People can go and look. And we have another one on the 25th as well. And we have, there's a number of breakfasts coming up. And I'll be in Houma on the 31st. And so all they have to do is, there's a lot coming up. And they can go on to the website and look at the public calendar. And we have a lot of things on there for them to go to. So that would be great.
Excellent. And, I will link, I've already linked to your webpage from the show description and from my website, and I will link from, and I've linked already from, to your Twitter account, from my Twitter account, and I'll make sure to do that all again, just to make sure that everybody can link from my page and find out how to see you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, I think you also have an Instagram as well, and all that's available from your website at TammySavoy.com. So do you have any final words to the listeners before we go ahead and take your final break?
Well, I want to thank everybody, and I just want to thank everybody, and I really look forward to serving our district and our state and our country again. I really do appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about the issues. I believe that as the state Democratic endorsed candidate, I will be the one to serve you and to go toe-to-toe with Scalise and retire him to the state that he has neglected so well over the past 10 years. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And good luck with your campaign. And I hope, we definitely need to get a Democrat into that seat. We definitely need to force a runoff. And I think once a runoff is forced, the entire game changes. So,
game changes.
I wish you all the luck, and I hope you have a good day, and I hope to talk to you again.
Sure thing. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Thanks.
All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. And that was Tammy Savoy. And I'm going to go ahead because of my earlier technical difficulty, and I will take another commercial block and come back and discuss the issue I want to discuss beforehand. If you want to come in and join the conversation and talk about the Louisiana First Congressional District or anything else that we discussed today, it's 914-205-5772. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right. Are you planning a trip to Disney soon? Do you want help avoiding spending mistakes and making the most of your vacation? Then check out Budgeteers.com, a new site devoted to helping you get the most mouse for your money. What kind of tickets should you get? Is the dining plan a good deal for you? Should you stay on grounds or not? Should you buy park hoppers? Many other sites are filled with information about what other people like to do, but Budgeteers is geared to help you make the best decision for you. So check out Budgeteers.com or go to YouTube.com/Budgeteers and help make your trip the best it can be. Budgeteers.com is not a travel agency and it is not affiliated with the Disney Corporation or any of its holdings. Are you someone who is looking to get into the ride-sharing business, be it for a side hustle or a full-time gig? Are you currently a rideshare driver wondering how to increase your earnings? Are you simply a new rider looking for first-time rider credits? Head on over to RideshareDan.com for those first-time rider credits, sign-up bonuses for new drivers, and my tips and tricks to help you make more money in the gig economy. And welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 914-205-5772. It's area code 914-205-5772. We just had a conversation with Tammy Savoy, candidate in the 1st Congressional District for the state of Louisiana, trying to replace the majority whip, Steve Scalise, in Congress. And I will, link... The show thread actually links to her webpage, and on Twitter, you'll be able to see her Twitter account as well. And from all those areas, you can navigate to all of her social media to find out more about Tammy and see what she is up to in the upcoming weeks leading up to the election. And if you feel she is the best candidate, I wholeheartedly say you should go out. There's no reason why people should stay home, even in districts that are supposedly out of reach. There's no reason to sit home. I can't tell you how many elections I've voted in that I've, knew I was going to lose, but I still voted in them anyway. Why? Because it was important to get your name out there. And the more people did that, perhaps you wouldn't have so many lopsided election results, because these people who, you should take your duty to vote seriously. And of course, the reason I highlighted the candidates in the past 2 weeks who were from Louisiana's 1st Congressional District is because, again, I ran in that district, so I have an affinity for people who do want to take on that task, because it is a hard one, especially harder since it's been re-gerrymandered to include a whole lot more than just the North Shore and a little bit of Metairie, Kenner, and some of the West Bank, and, just it's huge, as I guess our president would say. I didn't want to talk about this before we got to Tammy, but since, again, we had a technical difficulty that I'll be having to edit out after the show, we'll go ahead and talk about it now, which is the horrible day for Donald Trump that he had. Everybody who's been charged as a result of the Mueller investigation, 33 people have faced criminal charges that stem from the Russian investigation into the Russian interference in the 2006 election. So, just yesterday, we have Paul Manafort, former campaign chairman. He was convicted of financial fraud yesterday. Michael Cohen, President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, who pled guilty again yesterday. Rick Gates, who pled guilty, his former campaign advisor. Michael Flynn, former national security advisor, pled guilty. He says that this is a supposed witch hunt, but the witches are coming out and saying, hey, we're witches. Look, witches. We're witches. I'm a witch. A witch. Alex van der Zwaan lying to investigators about conversations with Mr. Gates. He's a lawyer that worked with Mr. Manafort and Mr. Gates. He pled guilty February 20th, 2018. Richard Panetto, identity fraud. He's a California man who sold bank accounts online, pled guilty. Michael Flynn, again, former security advisor, pled guilty. George Papadopoulos, former campaign advisor, lied to the FBI about conversations with people he believed were half Russians. He pled guilty. He had 13 Russian nationals who have, and three related companies, they've been charged with conspiracy to defraud the United States and a conspiracy to commit bank fraud and identity theft. 12 Russian intelligence officers who had a conspiracy to commit a defense against the United States, identity theft, conspiracy to launder money. 13, 12, 11, and a partridge into pear tree. Konstantin V. Kliminnik, obstruction of justice, a Russian army trained linguist and associate of Mr. Manafort. So all these people are just dropping like flies. And, there's question as to whether or not Manafort will get a pardon. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does, simply because of the fact that, Trump has been out there saying how his prosecution was part of this. It's a witch hunt. It's terrible. It's so unfair. This investigation, so unfair. So unfair. We can't have this investigation. It's terrible. If I would step in, I could, and I would just squash it. So he could probably just go ahead and pardon. Now, there's some conversations as to whether or not pardoning would actually be something that he could do, and he can do it. He has the power to do it. But if he pardons to obstruct justice, then it could potentially also be a crime. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. Somebody suggested that, that it could be the case. I don't. Can't say for sure whether or not that is the case. But with Michael Cohen, it's a whole big ball of wax. Whole big issue. It's a long-time attorney, somebody who knows Donald Trump really well. And he said that a candidate directed him to pay hush money in exchange for silence of two women, Daniels and the other person. And the payments were meant to, quote, influence the 2016 election and were made in coordinated with and at the direction of the candidate for federal office. So here's the thing. You basically have Donald Trump saying, look, I want you to break the law for me because I don't want this case. Now, why Donald Trump couldn't have just spent his own personal money on this? Just dumb. Absolutely dumb. Why would you purposefully use the campaign funds? It's that Neanderthal thing that I spoke about earlier. It just doesn't make any sense that he would say, oh, let's use this money. But I mean, I guess when you run a corporation, you want to use the corporation's money as much as possible to cover your personal expenses, to cover your personal responsibilities. That's why you get to write off tax things on your taxes, like meals and other stuff that you normally wouldn't get to, get to write off on your, if I use my personal funds to buy a meal, it's my personal funds. But if I use my corporation funds to buy a meal, okay. It doesn't come out of my personal funds. I mean, it might reduce my profit that I eventually get from my business, but it's a business expense, so it counts against my gross income, and so I pay less taxes. So it's just part of the sham that is a corporation. But, Cohen didn't say that it was Donald Trump who did it, but, I mean, who else would it have been? It could not have been anybody else other than Herr Donald who would say this. So basically, Karen McDougal is the other one, the other candidate. Basically, it said that it was hush money to buy the rights to these deals. And there is a question that hasn't been answered yet. Can a sitting president be criminally indicted? People are saying he's not supposed to be in legal jeopardy. And will the Republican Party finally take a stand and say, no, we need to impeach Donald Trump? I don't know. I have no faith in these Republicans in Congress to be able to do the right thing. They made impeachment a political tool to remove political opponents. They're not going to remove one of their own. It's just not going to happen. So, but even though now people are saying that he is an unindicted co-conspirator in this crime, hopefully the chunk of America that for some reason thought Hillary was worse than Trump will now see their error in their ways and come out and vote in the fall and come out and help really drain the swamp in electing Democrats to both retake the Senate and the House. And once you do that, you then move to the presidential election and you retake the presidency from this crook. So, will it work? Who knows? Never deny the American public the ability to do what's not in its best interests. But hopefully there'll be enough information there to convince enough people that this person sitting in the presidential suite in the Oval Office is the wrong person. And hopefully it'll be only 4 years of harm that we have to deal with. And hopefully those last 2 years of those 4 years will be have less harm simply because you won't have a Republican Congress who will back up his ridiculousness anymore. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and end the show. Tune in next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central for more Liberal Dan Radio. You can, again, follow me at facebook.com/liberaldan, liberaldan.com, blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan. You can subscribe to the show and at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. Until next week, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.